You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. This fall, the Sun Valley Playwrights Residency is in its third year of a new approach to supporting playwrights, including a residency at the Hemingway House and events inviting the public to hear a new generation of dramatists in America. Rajiv Joseph is a Pulitzer Prize finalist, and he's spending his October in the Sun Valley area. He sat down with our Morning Edition host, George Prentice. Let's take a listen.
I arrived here last Monday, so I've been here just about a week. And I'm looking out right now on the tree line and the sort of valley that's right behind this house. And it's such a beautiful and inspiring place. Obviously, it's very historical. And it is a wonderful place to be able to come for 1 month and work on a new play.
Is it fair to say that your own traveling, your journeys to different corners of the world, both beautiful and harsh, have informed your work?
Yeah, I think that that is very fair to say. I've had the opportunity to travel a lot over the United States and the world. Sometimes it has been on the occasion of seeing my plays done internationally and regionally, and sometimes it has been for the purposes of research. And then, or a case like this, a residency, an opportunity to get away and go to a new place that provides inspiration for what I'm working on.
So what is your own expectation for your time in Sun Valley?
Well, you know, for the 3 weeks I'm in Sun Valley and in Ketchup, I am really excited to start a new play. This is a play that I am developing specifically for the students at Fordham University, in the theater department there. I sometimes do this where I work with young actors, university students at a graduate or undergraduate level. It's an opportunity for us to work together to develop something new. It's an opportunity for me to write something that I wouldn't normally write. And I did this exact thing for a play called Describe the Night. I worked with the students at New York University a few years ago and developed a play for them, which has gone on to be one of my most produced plays. So I think everyone wins in the situation, and I'm getting a fresh start out of it here in Sun Valley.
We should note that this coming Saturday, October 14th, there's something special at the Argyros Theater in Ketchum, a reading of your play, Gruesome Playground Injuries. It is a rare opportunity for us, though, to be in the presence of a playwright. Do you relish that? I mean, I'm guessing that your art is very singular quite often, but do you relish the opportunity to spend time with audiences? Is it inspiring? Is it intimidating?
Oh, I love it. I mean, it's a huge part of what I love about this area of work for me is the sharing of my work with audiences, especially in new places. And Gruesome Playground Injuries is a play that I wrote several years ago, but is probably my most produced play across this country. And it's a two-person play. It takes place over 30 years. It's about a relationship between a man and a woman from the time they're 8 years old until they're 38. And but the two actors will play every age in between those ages. And I've been able to see this play done all over this country and in some other parts of the world internationally. And it's going to be interesting to see some local actors here in Ketchum read the parts and the audiences to respond to it.
You ever read your reviews?
Oh, sure. I read reviews. You know, I don't always agree with them, but I think I'm always interested in what people have to say about my work.
I'd like to read this one from the New York Times from this summer. Quote, it is astutely observed without feeling writerly, showcasing Rajiv Joseph's mastery over the way everyday conversation can belie or reveal social realities. Wow, that's pretty heady stuff.
I agree with that one.
That is the definition of a rave.
That was a really great production. My play King James was this past summer at Manhattan Theater Club in New York, and it was a rare opportunity. This doesn't usually happen, but this play was first produced at the Steppenwolf Theater in Chicago, and then at the Center Theater Group in Los Angeles, and then finally in Manhattan Theater Club in New York. And for all three productions, I had the same two actors playing the same two roles. And I had the same director, the eminent Kenny Leon, who's a Tony Award-winning director, whose play Pearly Victorious is on Broadway right now.
I'll talk to one person who insists that the American theater is in crisis. Then I'll talk to the next person who says, no, the American theater is in transition. What's your sense?
I think I would veer towards transition. There's a way of understanding transition as a crisis, and maybe vice versa. I think that obviously, you know, the American theater is struggling in many places. It's struggling in many of the regional theaters. It's struggling in New York City. I think that it's not going to remain this way. I think that theater has survived worse calamity than the one it's in right now. And I think that the American theater that emerges from this transition slash crisis is going to be a fascinating one and a stronger one. I think that's the nature of institutions and of art. And I think as long as we have people who are interested in creating theater, writing it, acting in it, directing in it, designing it, I think that we're going to find new and interesting stories worth telling.
And from where I sit, it's an evolution of audiences too. I mean, the more regional, the better, the more accessible, the better. Audiences are, the demographic is wider, it's deeper.
I think so, yeah. And I think it's really important we expose young people to the arts like theater and dance and film. Given the ways that technology has come into our lives in the last 20 years, there is an issue of attention spans. You know, I think I see my own attention span has suffered since I got a smartphone. And I think that my ability to kind of call up anything and everything from the history of the world onto my phone has had a deleterious effect on the way that I understand, you know, the way I can read or the way I watch movies or television, you know. And I think that sometimes I need to take a deep breath and have more patience with myself and the way I, you know, encounter art. And I think that's the crisis for me, is the crisis that we're all facing in dealing with our lowered attention spans due to the way that technology can kind of manipulate them.
How are you on, the easy word is ghosts, but how are you on the presence of Hemingway? You're spending real time, nights and days, in his home.
Yeah, I feel very honored to be here in this home. I have myself in many of my plays written ghost stories. I think that is something that I am, you know, interested in and concerned with and, you know, I would say believe in. That said, I can say very confidently that in the few days I've been here in this home, I have felt nothing but a warmth and a really vibrant creative spirit.
And true, I mean, when you think of from there to here, that continuation of the exploration of the American dilemma.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that, you know, what's so interesting about, you know, Hemingway is his place in our American history and in American literary life. It's wonderful that in a place like Ketchum and Sun Valley, that there's such an embracing of his memory through this house, through the memorial. There's so much to see and think about when you come to this part of the world. It's not just about Hemingway, but it is a really inspiring place.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
This is my voice. It can tell you a lot about me, and I'm not changing it for anyone. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of NPR episodes centered on the Black experience. Search NPR Black Stories, Black Truths wherever you get podcasts.